Just don't stop. I feel like everybody starts and stops and starts and stops. They don't see things all the way through. But we're in such an instant gratification Instagram world. It glorifies the ending, not the journey.
Hello and welcome again to another episode of One Starfish, where our mission is to help change the world one starfish or one person at a time. As always, make sure to rate, review, subscribe, share, all the things. That's how we get the word out about what we're doing. I'm excited for our guest today. Levi is in Montana, so pretty close to Alberta for me. And has been in real estate for 20 years, just started a real estate coaching business. So we'll get into a lot of that kind of stuff. But thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm a little jealous you're warm in Texas and I'm up here in Montana in the cold.
Well, the joys of travel. I love it. So let's dig into things. You know, what got you into real estate over 20 years ago? And tell us a little bit about your journey through that.
Yeah, you know, I started in real estate. I started as a maintenance man at a property management company. In my early 20s, I already had two kids at that point to support. And I started, you know, I didn't graduate high school. You know, I grew up in a small town in Montana. There wasn't a ton of options. You know, and I'm in my mid-40s, so there wasn't a lot of like the YouTube or Instagram mentors that you can have now, which is great for people doing it now. So like we kind of had to find our way through things a little different than kids do now, which I'm really grateful for them. So like I read like the Donald Trump books and just fell in love with real estate. The fact that you could own real estate and people pay rent and make your mortgage payment. And the fact just that you could build wealth with real estate without having an education, because I didn't go to college. I'm not your traditional student. Attendance was a problem for me. I didn't love school, which is still, you know, I'm still not a good learner, like a traditional learner, labeled with, you know, ADHD and all that kind of stuff young, which I think a lot of kids were, but just, you know, rambunctious, played a lot of sports. That real competitive drive from the sports, I think, helped. But real estate to me was just the first way I could latch on to building wealth, or like even just being semi-successful, growing up in a rural area.
What are some things, because a lot of people get into real estate and a lot of people don't succeed in real estate. What are some things that you feel are the differentiators between someone that gets in and actually gets somewhere and someone that gets in and just spends a bunch of money to get their licenses and all the stuff and doesn't go anywhere?
Absolutely. That's a great question, Angela. I think my biggest attribute has just been persistence. I don't think there's a lot special about what I do different. It's just I show up every day and do the little things right. And I had a wrestling coach tell me when I was really young, if you do the little things right, you'll do the big things right as well. So you show up, you do the open houses, you go meet people. I had a mentor young that, you know, in my early 20s, that said, you know, dress up, show up, make calls, take calls. A lot of people in real estate, you know, they watch HGTV, or, you know, they think they're going to work from home, or, you know, they're going to make their own schedules, right? Like, in, it's a service business where, you know, the people that I sell houses to have jobs. So if they want to go look at houses at 7 o'clock on a Sunday night, we're going to look at houses at 7 o'clock on a Sunday night. So I really think persistence, not giving up, is a huge, huge just benefit, right? Like I grew up with that zero mentality options because I did grow up poor. You know, we moved around a lot. And so like, I didn't have a safety net to fall back on. I didn't have that, you know, the mom and dad to, you know, you bail you out of a jam. And then being in my early 20s with two kids, I really had to have that, that mentality that, well, this, we just don't have an option for this not to work. So, I think you gotta get out and meet people. You gotta have those coffees. lunches, open houses. I mean, you know, in your business, that's, I mean, you have to be, get in front of people.
Where did that come from? Have you always been that way? Like, were your parents that way? Like, where did that, just that persistence and consistency, is that something you've always like had as a strength, or how did you work at building it?
You know, I got a lot of my work ethic from my dad. He's a truck driver. He hauled fuel for, you know, 30 years. You know that life. And didn't see him a lot, but I knew he was working hard. That persistence, I just think, comes from not having an option to fail. Like, it's either that or I have to go, you know, I have to go to McDonald's and get a job, or to support my family, or, you know, you just have to. I think in that, a lot of it comes from sports, right? Like, if you want to get better, you have to train. You have, you know, all the advantages are done in the dark when nobody else is watching you, and not in the lights when, you know, you go and perform one time. It's the practice and the hard work that you put in. So I think a lot of it is, you know, the burn the boats mentality. Like, you don't, you just don't have another option.
That's really, I think that's where a lot of people, yes, lack. So on the days you don't want to work, or you didn't want to work, or, and I sometimes think as you become more successful, it's harder to actually get up, because you're not starving.
There's absolutely
not a food thing. So what motivates you to work on the days that maybe you don't feel like it?
I know we talk about this quite a bit, is I have to like channel that dark side, right? And I know it's probably not healthy. I have to be, I have to think, well, my competitors are up, you know, my competitors are out, you know, beating the streets. They're out working today, so I better get moving, right? Like, or it's, you know, Ed Mylett says it, right? Like, then you're creating distance. You know, I want to start lapping my competition, not just, you know, nosing ahead. So, and I think real winners have that edge, that domination, that you have to have it.
Do you think people are born with it, or do you think they can breed it into themselves?
That's a good question. I think you can, a little bit. I think a lot of it is born. I think a lot of it has to do with that struggle growing up, you know, progressing in life. I think a lot of it comes from that. But, you know, there are those outliers that, you know, have all the benefits of life and really take off as well. So it's really hard to say, but I do think the two things, you know, growing up without and having a competitive nature really helps. It's, you know, I coached wrestling for a lot of years because my son wrestled. And you just see some kids have the desire, mm-hmm. and then some kids just don't. You know, and that's okay too. You're right. They're just not meant for a gladiator sport like that. And it's just, and I think it's somewhere in the middle. I don't think there's a right answer to that one.
What are some things that you feel, so someone's listening to this, and like, what are some things, tangible things that you feel that have helped accelerate that competitive edge, or the dark side, or whatever?
Right.
What's kind of helped you get farther faster that you feel are some major things?
Boy, and you know this, growing up in a rural area, you feel really alone. Like, when I, you know, I've got friends that we come where I live, there's, you know, like three refineries. So like, going to work at a refinery is a great job around here, and it really helps our economy. But that wasn't my path, right? So you go out into a business, and I started a property management company when I was, you know, 24, 25, and then I got my real estate license. And so I was just on a different path than everybody. So I felt like on an island. So like, joining the RHA syndicate was such a great, great thing for me, to see that other people were dealing with the same struggles and tribulations that we do, because, you know, we're not like everybody else. We're just not built like everybody else to go work that, you know, shift work or 8 to 5 in an office, you know, and that's, it's okay for a lot of people, but that's just not the path that I was willing to go down. So I do think joining a community of like-minded people, so that you can share your struggles And, you know, we're all going through the same stuff. It feels like we're not, but I feel, you know, but in whatever business you're in, we're all kind of going through the same stuff. And that's one of my favorite things about the RTA Syndicate is when we have our meetings and we have our summits and everybody meets up and just kind of bounces ideas and struggles with each other and kind of bounce ideas off each other. So that, to me, that's a game changer, getting into these groups and meeting people that are doing the same stuff as you.
Find the circles.
Yeah. Absolutely. So
if you're not in the circles and you're listening to this, find the circles of people that cause
find
you.
Them.
Yeah, find them. Do the work, pay the price. On all scales, can be financially, can be time-wise, probably all of the above.
Right.
Yeah, pay to play.
It's great too when you're in those circles, because when you are those days when you're not feeling like doing it, you can just reach out to one of them. They can, you know, tell you get off your ass and get to work.
Yeah, that's true. That's cool. So you've been through some up and down markets. We were talking about this a little bit before, obviously going through real estate. What did you find in the down markets that got you through them that you did differently than say you would in the up markets, if anything?
Right. So I got my real estate license in, I think it was 2005. So, and I was in my mid 20s and I just took off like a skyrocket. It was so much fun. It was, you know, I'm like, this is easy. Why doesn't everybody do this? This is, you know, I'm making tons of money and having all the fun and thinking this is the easiest gig on the planet. Like, this is, why does everybody do this? And then, you know, the 08 crash happens and you just see the devastation that it can take, right? The people that didn't save money for the rainy days or the people that didn't study the markets, right? Because in economics, it's all a cycle and it always goes the same direction, but we get caught up in these great cycles and think that it's going to last forever. We also get caught up in the bad cycles and think it's going to last forever too. So I sold primarily new construction, new houses and stuff. And I was talking to the guy that I was, he was a builder and he was an older guy. He's still a good friend of mine. And I said, next time this happens, I'm going to save a bunch of money so I can buy up a ton of real estate the next time the market goes down like this, because this is where the real wealth is built. Because when sellers have to sell, the people with the money to buy the assets are the ones that are winning. And he made a joke. Yeah. Because he's an older gentleman. He's like, yeah, I said that 3 or 4 bad markets ago. And so, but it is true. People make the same mistakes. They buy the toys. They indulge, you know, in the stuff that they shouldn't. They're not investing back in themselves. So,
so true.
Yeah. And on this down market, I was positioned to do a lot of those things because I didn't forget it. I'm glad that I lived through that 08 time. When I say lived in business. Because I knew how to be ready for it, right? I knew to have a nest egg. I knew to, but in the meantime, in that 15-year period, I had started a home building company because I primarily sold new construction, but I wanted to control my own inventory. So I didn't want to be subject to whatever a different builder or somebody else. Their business model. I wanted to control my own destiny. So, and we learned a lot I go back to the RTA Syndicate, and these bad times when you got to put the foot, you know, your foot down. So I shifted gears and went to a more affordable home. But we kept building the same amount of homes. Cause I wanted to, even though our profit margin probably wasn't as good, but we kept our subcontractors busy. I kept my employees working. No layoffs happened. And I kept all my vendors paid. So during this downtime, we're able to gain that market share. And to me, that's a huge, you know, because now we're 12 years into the building business and we're just gaining market share because we're still closing 4 houses a month when other builders kind of tucked tail and ran. So be aggressive is the moral of the story.
Be aggressive. I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Work hard and be aggressive. And now you've started a real estate coaching group. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, my partner, Mike Burns, and I, he's in mortgage and he does home flips. And so I'm a real estate salesman, and I own the building company and I own rentals. So we kind of partnered together, and so we can teach people what we've learned over the last, you know, our 30 years combined. So especially in these times where if you got into real estate, you know, 5-6 years ago, again, you're thinking this is great, this is easy, and now you hit a downturn, right? So we talked about getting in those circles. We've launched we're not even a paid group or anything yet. We've just launched a free Facebook group. It's the Real Deal Coaching. Would love anybody to join and just jump in. And we're just trying to give value to people about real estate. You know, what to the pitfalls or the benefits, right? Like, this is a great time to get into real estate because, you know, nobody else is, right? We have a friend that got into mortgage lending, and I said, well, this is the best time to do it because nobody else is doing it. It might not be fruitful for the first couple of years, but you're going to gain that market share. So for us, it's really about giving back, and trying to help people kind of the way Ed and Andy have helped us, you know. And then we'll expand that to a bigger group. We want to do, you know, summits and stuff like that to where people can come learn, have speakers and that kind of stuff. So we're just kind of starting slow, but really excited about being able to teach now that I'm, you know, an elder in the real estate business, and it's pass on some knowledge to people that, again, that didn't have it, like, you know, that, you know, because there's a lot of glitz and glamour of, you know, go mortgage all your houses and do all this stuff to buy all the, you know, there's a right way to do it. And we want to teach that right way.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I love it. Well, everyone listening, we'll have that links in the show notes. So if that's something you want to be part of, you can definitely join in with Levi's group and see what you can learn. Cause yeah, it is a lot of experience. And I love the sound of that. Giving back is an amazing feeling. And it's always good to have good mentors if you're getting into the space, especially if you're a new real estate agent or not successful one, or right, just wanting to do it.
Everybody wants to talk about real estate. That's the best part.
It is. Yeah. It's a big hubbub. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
But you can lose a lot of money. You can make money. You can also lose a lot of money. That's for sure.
And you can just build slow wealth is what I like to preach.
I like that. Yeah. Most people are looking for something fast. So yeah. And nothing's really normally that fast. If it's fast, it's fast.
You're the financial advisor here, Angela, not me. I just say get rents.
Yeah, take the time. I love it. That's awesome. So guys, in wrapping up, I always ask three final questions, and then anything that we didn't talk on that you just think is really impactful for our listeners. First final question is, if someone's looking for their purpose, what's one sentence that you could say that could help them find it?
Just don't stop. Right. Like I feel like everybody starts and stops and starts and stops and doesn't, they don't see things all the way through. We're in such a, that's more than one sentence, sorry, but we're in such an instant gratification Instagram world that doesn't, it just doesn't, it glorifies the ending, not the journey. Right. Like my favorite scenes, and I always go to sports movies, right? Or like the training scenes, right? Like the Remember the Titans movie when they're, you know, all training in the rain and bloody and, you know, sweaty. That's my favorite part. Get in the trenches and do the work, because it's not going to happen magically.
Good. I like that. Number two question is, what's a favorite quote and why?
There's so many quotes. I just wrote one down on my phone. There's so many that I like. This was actually a Tim Tebow quote, and I wrote it down. He said, "Somewhere my competition is working, and when we meet, he will win." So it means, like, if you're not working, your competition's out there working. Kind of goes back to what I said earlier, right? But there's just so many good quotes that great people have said now that. I'm really about just getting in the trenches and working.
Good. I like that. And number third and final question is, what one word or sentence you want on your gravestone?
Just grateful for the opportunities, for my family, friends. Like we only get one go at this. So you got to kind of take everything in. And I don't know if everything happens for a reason, but you have to kind of take what happens and make the best of it and keep pushing.
It's good. So if someone runs into a coffee shop and they're like, "Hey, Levi, listen to the podcast. It's great." Persistence is a big thing I got out of it. What's something that we didn't touch on that you think would be really impactful for our listeners?
A couple of things. I think getting in these circles, like we talked about, creating long-term friendships. You know, you and I met, you know, at the first Arte Summit. These things really matter, having these relationships, because it is such a fly-by-night society that we're living in right now. Ask the questions of the people that you want to be mentors. Don't just listen. You know, ask those deep questions that will help you. Like, I think that I spent a lot of my time growing up trying to like be the cool guy, you know, not wanting to look dumb, right? Like, I'm not educated, so I always didn't want to be dumb. So I didn't ask the questions, where now I'll ask anybody anything. There truly is no dumb question. So that's the biggest thing. Just ask the questions all the time.
That's good. I like that. That's awesome. Guys, make sure to rate, review, subscribe. If you know some people into real estate, make sure to really share this stuff with them. Get them in the Facebook group, all of that kind of good stuff. Guys, let's go out there. Let's change the world one starfish or one person at a time. If we can change one life at a time together, we can change the world. Thanks for being on, Levi.
Thanks, Angela.